Work shouldn't feel like a drag, and you shouldn't have to sacrifice your soul for a job you love. Determined to rethink the future of work, she's out of her depth on purpose. With fresh ideas, interviews, and stories from her life on the road, meet Europe's newest digital nomad, Blair Palmer.
Hello, and welcome to episode 81 of A Brilliant Gamble. I hope you are really well. A lot of people have been asking me over the last few days how our travels are going. So here's the honest update. I had 24 hours alone where I went to France to do a little bit of work on my own. I left Ivy with a friend for a sleepover and I went off on my own. And a very interesting thing happened, which is within about 3 hours, I felt very different. I felt kind of like myself again, and I realized that I haven't been feeling like myself for a few weeks. And I had the opportunity to reflect and make some notes and think about why I haven't been feeling so much like myself and why I was able to reconnect with myself actually pretty quickly, within about 2 or 3 hours. And I realized this: there is often a mismatch between how you want the journey to be and how it is. Now, this is going to go for whatever change it is that you're trying to achieve in your life, whatever change it is that you're undergoing right now. There will be a mismatch between how you want that journey to be and how it is. And there will be things that you don't want to be true that are true. There are ways that you imagined it, and you are in part in denial that it's not like that. So I really didn't feel that I should have a problem being away from my friends, and I didn't think that Ivy should either. I thought, she's got me, I've got her. I don't see my friends that much when I'm at home. I shouldn't really have a problem with that. I also didn't really feel that I needed time alone. I felt that if Ivy and I were in different rooms, that would be enough and that would meet my need to have a little bit of alone time. I didn't think I would find the travel particularly hard. I mean, how hard can it be? It's just driving, and when you arrive, it's just living in a house. I also thought that everyone else in my family would be able, should be able, to cope with us being away, and seeing them for a few days every few weeks would be fine. None of these have turned out to be strictly true for us. And we've both been, this is how I know that it hasn't quite been working for us, which is that we've both been kind of grumpy and argumentative for a few weeks. Living together, just two of you, is intense. Anyone who's married or lives with a partner will know that, or lives with a friend. You all know that. But you can't talk about it like you would with another adult, because the other person that you're living with in this very intense situation is 10. And she can't fully express what she feels or what she wants because she's 10. So not only do you have this intensity, but it's between an adult and a child, and it makes it more difficult to work out what's going on and what you want to do next. Plus, and this is something that I also realized as I was flying out to France, the isolation that you experience on a journey like this, but I don't think it has to be physical isolation. I think any kind of journey of change is quite isolating, and that isolation heightens your dark side, your deepest bad habits, your deepest bad negative ways of thinking are exposed and magnified when you are isolated or under pressure. So what you could keep at bay under normal circumstances becomes dominant. For me, two things have popped to the surface that I did not realize were so big for me. The first is how much I care what other people think of me. It's become huge. I'm thinking all the time about how my behaviors are going to be perceived, not so much by, on a professional basis, but people that I come into contact with on a day-to-day basis, like Airbnb hosts. I'm kind of obsessive about whether they like us and whether they're happy with the way we're leaving the house, and whether or not they've left us a review seems to matter very much to me. And this is deep down a sort of manifestation of this me caring very much what other people think of me. It's become kind of an obsession. And the other thing that's popped to the surface over the last few weeks is My concerns about homeschool. Are we doing enough? Is this journey enough for Ivy? Are we spending enough time on what I think of as education? Or is she learning enough from living with each other and living out there in the world and going to the places that we go and having the conversations that we have? Is that enough? So what do you do in this situation? What do you do when you're feeling like this? Well, I think you have to make some changes. Now, some of these changes are practical. They're going to be practical for you, and some of them are going to be more of a mindset shift. So for us, I think more alone time. I think little breaks from each other every now and again, where she goes and stays with a friend or goes and plays with a friend or something along those lines. That's really going to help us both, even just to have things to tell each other. We had so much to tell each other. Good stories of things that had happened while we were apart, when we reconnected after my little trip to France. So that's really valuable. And I can't overestimate the value of alone time for you as well. A very personal one, treating Ivy more like a kid than my co-pilot. She's a very grown-up girl, a very intelligent girl, and she's a great friend, but she is a kid, and I need to recognise that. That's a very personal one for me. Continue to do the morning routines. Now, I will do a podcast. I'd like to find a guest who's really, really good on this. But the morning routines and waking up and starting your day the right way makes a massive difference. And it's something that I stop doing when I start feeling out of sync. So that's exactly the time that I should be doing it. And we've decided a bit more time in the UK, and when we come to the UK, spending more time here. These flying visits for a few days don't meet anyone else's needs, anyone else in our family. They don't meet Ivy's needs to be with her friends, and I don't actually get a chance to see my friends either. It is very hard to let go of how you wanted things to be, how you expected them to be, the picture you had in your head, especially as some of the changes that I'm making at this point won't be entirely what I want. They are to do with meeting other people's needs too. But this is what a blended, integrated life is about. It isn't about creating your own personal perfection and everyone else be damned. It's about the right balance between all the elements with you and your wants and your dreams and your needs right in there too, but not exclusively, because that's not how we live. And that's where I am so far as I think about a blended life. The intention also in making these changes is to give us a little bit more routine, a bit more predictability for everyone in our lives, as well as a bit more predictability for us. And that brings me to today's guest. Mike Smutka is president and co-founder of Buckets.co, a project management software specifically designed to help you organize your tasks and work with others, no matter where they are in the world, on projects together. And I thought he'd be a brilliant person to talk to about a problem so many of us struggle with. Too much to do, not being well organized or not feeling well organized, working across international time zones, and being on all the time. In this interview, we talk about what's most difficult about managing tasks and the simple ways, whether you use technology or good old-fashioned paper and pen, to organize yourself and your activities better, so you can have more time. That is what it's all about, having more time. Technology promised that we would have more time, but it hasn't actually delivered. But the question is that the problem of the tech or the way we're using it? Mike has lots of practical tips. He's had his own issues with this, and he talks about that too. And it certainly helped me this week as I was thinking about what we need to do differently and getting my thoughts in order a lot better. So I hope you enjoy today's interview and find yourself with more time too. Let's go over to my conversation with Mike. Mike, I'm so glad to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having me.
Where are you?
I'm actually in Seattle. I'm at the office right now. Not doing any traveling at the moment, but be back on the road a little bit later this month.
Fab. And just maybe you can explain a little bit better than I can what Buckets is all about.
Sure. So Buckets is a personal productivity and team collaboration platform. It's totally online. Most teams around the world are utilizing it to do some level of project management. We have companies using it. We also have elementary schools using it. So it's a very wide spectrum of anyone that wants to communicate and be organized in one central location online uses Buckets, essentially.
I mean, there are so many reasons that I wanted to talk to you, but I think that one of the main reasons is that people are looking for more balance, I guess, between all the different parts of their life. And one of the things that happens when our lives are kind of in disarray, which is how it feels so much of the time, is that we feel completely disorganized. So at work, maybe things are quite well organized, but there's a lot of complexity and there's too much to do in the time that you have. And then outside of work, life is hectic. And what I'm really interested, there's so many things to talk about, but maybe we can start with how you came up with this idea that we needed to do something about this.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've been a self-employed entrepreneur for going on 14 years almost now, and I have worked with people all over the world, all different time zones, bunch of different teams and whatnot, and had to keep myself organized as well. And for a long time, it was as simple as trying to keep track of my emails, and I was just all over the place. And so when we decided to start working on a platform to help push forward collaboration in the online space, it came from a lot of firsthand experience of dealing with making mistakes. We originally, when we started working on something like Buckets, it wasn't necessarily thinking like, oh, let's make a commercial product and market it around the world or anything like that. It really had more to do with solving our own problems. And once we kind of got that momentum going, we started learning about the other problems that other people were experiencing around the world with these same types of issues. Could be similar businesses to ours or other businesses, completely nothing to do with ours. But I really enjoy speaking to our customers nowadays. And in those early days, just speaking to friends, family, other fellow entrepreneurs, or like I said, like people like teachers that want better ways to collaborate with their students and keep the lines of communication open, we started learning all these ideas. And then those things have kind of just continued to snowball and create a product that, frankly, 4 years ago, we probably would not recognize what the product has become, frankly.
And you mentioned some of the problems that you wanted to resolve. I mean, you were running a business that had, well, that has offices all over the world. And that's really going to resonate with a lot of people, because so many of us have clients or colleagues that work in different time zones, and it really can ruin your life. I mean, you're up early to deal with your stakeholders or your colleagues in one part of the world, and you're up late to deal with your stakeholders, your customers in another part of the world. I mean, you told me a story about, you know, basically sleeping with your laptop on your lap. That seems like the only way you could stay in touch with everybody.
Absolutely. True story. I had big headphones like the ones I'm wearing today, and had my volume cranked up on high. And anytime a message would come in, I'd wake up, whether it be a client or more likely an employee overseas that had a question for me. And frankly, it's just no way to live. So, you know, Buckets is a great tool, but in general, any tool that enables, you know, collaboration online can really help us get our lives back is sort of my takeaway. Obviously, I'm biased, but there's lots of great tools out there. And the tools that started with just the internet as a whole, and then what is built out of that is really what has enabled for this to happen. It's very dangerous because you can go one of two ways. I started out thinking, oh, I can get three times as much done in my 12-hour day, which was already ridiculous. Or you can take the other way, which I think as you get a little more older and mature, you start to think about, which is, I can get a lot done and have a whole life as how I would like to live my life, and kind of take some of that back. So, you know, with whether it be a project management tool or a tool that suits specifically your business projects, whatever you're working on, I think, you know, the key thing that we can take advantage of and leverage in technology is that we can do a lot of prep work, and we can put ourselves in sort of more of a reaction mode then. So if we do a little bit of proactive work, spend our hour or two getting things queued up, getting the right checks and balances in place, then what happens is that we put in that time to start, and then we can spend 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and it's not necessarily going to take away from what's going on in our life. So if you plan correctly and you set yourself up correctly, you can really just regain your entire life back.
Yeah. I wonder if we do have to think about how we organize ourselves differently than maybe we did in the past, because there are so many demands and you are pulled, especially if you work in this kind of global village way, you're pulled in all different directions with the time zones and just with the sheer amount of work and everything that you could be doing. There's mm-hmm. no way you could possibly finish your to-do list. So maybe we do need to organize ourselves differently. You know, when my mum was raising us, she used to make all our own clothes. And I remember saying to her, when my daughter was quite young, at the age that I was when my mum made our clothes, I said to her, how did you have time to make our clothes when you were working and raising two children? And she said, well, there wasn't anything on TV. Life was simpler then. So you could kind of have time to think, what should I do next? And then do it. And then think, now what should I do? And do it. Whereas something you said in there, and I want to pick up on it, is now we have to invest the time up front doing the thinking and the planning, which then means we can just get on with the activities. We've decided what they are. It's not going to happen. The right things are not going to happen by accident anymore. Mm-hmm.
Right. I 100%. I mean, the one thing that there's really no cheating on is that we do have to do some planning work up front and whatnot. And that can be a struggle for many of us just to kind of get going. But I really believe that once you kind of start to see just a little bit of kind of like how that can reshape your time structure and your life structure, it really has a nice positive snowball effect in terms of that you pick up on a little strategy here, a little strategy there, and everyone's strategies are going to be different. You know, some people are bringing the kids to school in the morning, some people are picking them up in the afternoon, whatever your schedule might be, you need to kind of mold your strategies to that. But there's really, you know, good ways to adapt it to you and really kind of open yourself up.
So I need some advice then, because I live in a pretty chaotic way. I mean, everything does get done, but it gets done in a chaotic and slightly unplanned way. Unless someone else has planned it for me. So can you, and I know I'm not alone. I know that a lot of us feel this way. So can you give me a bit of advice about what is this upfront planning? Because it really puts me off that idea. I don't want to spend all my time planning. I want to get into doing the thing I enjoy doing. So can you explain to me what should be in this upfront planning phase?
Sure. So I am a big fan of doing the least amount of work possible that you need to do. Yeah. So I'm with you 100%. One of the easiest ways to make sure that you're doing the least amount of work possible is to make sure that you have the essential steps necessary to complete whatever it is, whether it's complete your plan, get to your goal, however you want to look at it. And so I'm a big fan of checklists, good old fashioned checklists. This is something that my grandfather was still doing, you know, but he was doing it with pen and paper, and that's one way to do it. We've brought that concept online and made it into a collaboration tool as well. But, you know, if you have 8 things that need to get done, take the 3 minutes it will take, literally 3 minutes, to write down those 8 items. Write them on paper, put them online, wherever works for you. I think that is the critical foundation. If everyone just started with a checklist and checked it off, I think that would be a tremendous win for all of us in planning an organization. And that's something we can all do, I think, realistically.
And I think that a checklist is a bit different, the way you're describing it, to say a to-do list, because I think what a lot of us have is this kind of ongoing to-do list. But I think what you're talking about is, what are the steps from beginning to end of this particular project, whatever it might mm-hmm. be, personal or professional, and identifying what those steps are, and that's your checklist, and you move through those phases. So once you've done the thinking up front, there isn't any more thinking to do. You're just moving through the steps you already identified.
Well, I think one thing that's very critical is for us to, again, pick just the essential steps. And those, if they're essential steps, they need to be steps that are very realistic for you to accomplish, because we can all make a New Year's resolution checklist, for instance, like I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year or whatnot. That doesn't really do us much good. But if I go into my morning and I say, these are the three things that I need to do to feel like I got a good start to the day, that's going to build momentum for the rest of the day, that's one way to go about it. Or if I'm going to take on a specific project, here are the bare essential four things that need to get done to complete this project. And breaking those things down into the smaller the steps, the better, in my opinion. I think that it feels like less of a burden, you know, less of something for us to get over, because we can all take care of these small steps. It's that when we look at the end goal that has to be accomplished, I think that's where we kind of all just throw our hands up and say, oh, like, I just don't have time for this today. But if we just focus on just the next small step and the next small step and the next small step, I think that it's much easier for us to take that on. And then also, there is an accountability factor. If we have those things in front of us and we have a process in place that we are going to make it a point to review these things, you know, every morning, or what, you know, like there is an aspect of it where seeing it in front of you and seeing things that are very accomplishable on a regular basis, I think helps hold ourselves accountable. If we're in a team environment, it certainly helps us hold our teams accountable. As we probably all know, sometimes it's easier to hold our teams accountable than ourselves, but that's something for us all to work on, certainly.
So what else, apart from a checklist, what else could I do to get out of this slightly chaotic way of organizing my day and the various, you know, we've all got multiple projects going on. I mean, if you only had one, it would be quite easy. But, you know, even in your business or in the work that you do, you've got multiple things going on that involve other people and yeah. that maybe are also quite unpredictable. So something sure. like getting fit or losing weight, it's kind of predictable what the steps are that you have to take. But in some more yeah. steps, projects, or maybe it's the first time that something in your organization's ever been attempted, you don't always know what the sure. steps are. So what else? What else could we do?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the strategies that we can take on are most applicable when we can work with others, because then we can play off each other's strengths and weaknesses. When it's all on you, then it's all on you, and we can all get organized and we can make our list be the most digestible possible, but at the end of the day, you have to do the work. But when you're working with a partner or you're working with an entire team that you're surrounded by, you can put some great strategies in place to make sure that nothing ever gets stuck. And so when we look at things like checklists, you know, I see a lot of people that I work with who might have a checklist of 1 to 6, you know, items 1 through 6, and they might set things up in such a way that their team member gets to step 4, they get stuck, and they basically lose the rest of the day. So when we talked about this earlier, but going in, switching back and forth between this proactive mode and this reactive mode, the proactive mode is when we're getting the steps together and we're doing the kind of setting the tone with our team members to make sure that they know that they can move on, and we want to have a process in place that allows them to feel comfortable moving on. So to allow them to ask the question about the one item and move on to number five and number six, and not let number four be a blocker. With buckets, we do a checklist commenting system where I essentially get pinged on my phone when somebody has a question about checklist item number four. They move on, and when I get a second to look at my phone or hop on a computer, I go ahead and reply to them. But I think that's the most critical thing that I could pass on to anyone is to make sure that you have a good system in place. Not, it doesn't have to be just a software platform, but an actual process to work with your fellow team members so that they can move on. And for the items that are that need you, that you can just sort of hop in there to remove those blockers without making the entire team slow down around you. So that's one big thing. And the second thing that I would give to everyone is to have the greatest success, and this goes for yourself or working with the team, have a predictable workflow process. And you can be very creative with what that workflow process looks like, but if people have expectations of what to do in different types of scenarios, or this is how we do things, this is how we move things from step one to step two to step three, et cetera, then you're not going to run into scenarios where people start scratching their head because they don't know what to do next. They've said, we've done this before. This is not our first rodeo. We know that when Mike is away in a meeting for 2 hours, I'm going to leave my question. I'm going to move on to everything else. And I'm going to have 19 of 20 items done. And then I'll take care of that last item when he breaks free. So that's the other thing that I would bestow upon everyone.
Yeah, this is so interesting because, you know, when you said, well, this isn't the first time we've done this, I think a lot of us get involved in projects and it isn't the first time we've done it, but it feels like it. It feels like we're starting with a blank sheet of paper. And that's partly because we haven't spent this upfront time reflecting on what did we do before that worked? What did we do before that didn't work? How are we going to remove those blockers this time so that it is more, so it's more efficient. So one of the reasons that people are struggling with this idea of having any kind of balance in their lives is because they've got so much going on. And yet I pretty much guarantee that most of what takes people's time is not making any difference at all. You know, most of the meetings, most of the activity, most of the arguments in the office, most of the arguments at home are wasting time. But they're occurring because the planning wasn't done, or the initial conversations weren't done, or no one took the time to learn the lessons from the last time and kind of build it into doing a better project this time. Has that been something that's affected the way you've built your product and the way that you work with people in your organization?
It certainly has gone into how we've built our product. Like you said, we do have to take that initial prep time, and that's the one thing that's hard to cheat on, but we can be very efficient so that, you know, we all think of it as like, oh, 2 hours to plan or three. No, like most days it takes 5 minutes, to be honest. And so we've absolutely built our product to be fast and efficient in that sense. As far as like working with others, I mean, taking something out into the real world is quite a different experience often. And, you know, with respect to what you were saying, what I notice, I've done this certainly, is we don't do the prep work. And I kind of almost feel guilty that I didn't do the prep work. And so I like want to make myself feel better that I'm going to now sort of like scramble to make it feel like I've done the prep work retroactively. And so I'll call a meeting and waste 30 minutes of everyone else's time to feel better about it. Or I'll work in on it, on the project in some other sense that frankly, the 5 minutes at the beginning would have been better than the 2 hours of random stuff that I did retroactively. And the other thing is that when we are in that scramble mode and we're not necessarily doing not in the prep mode, it's just nothing is being done as efficiently as it could be, you know, like, cause we're not thinking it through. We're not thinking through the steps. We're like just seeing the next fire in front of us and like, oh, let me put out this fire. Let me put out that fire. And my LinkedIn profile, this is earlier in my career, used to say professional firefighter because that's all I did all day. I felt like was put out fires at work. But if you have the steps to refer back to, as simple as they may be, and to be clear, most of my steps, I actually just copy over from the last one. So I don't even necessarily rewrite them each time. They're very applicable no matter what I'm doing. But if I have the steps to refer back to and I say, oh, number two is the next item I need to be focusing on, even though I see this thing that's, you know, it's smoldering a little bit over here, but it, you know, it's smoking, but this is the item that's going to be getting in my way. And that's item number eight. I don't need to worry about this till Friday, you know? And so that checklist or, you know, whatever your process is, but for me, it's a checklist to refer back to. It's like my treasure map of like how to get there. And sometimes it sounds incredibly simple, almost to the point where you say, oh, of course, like I could do that. It's not going to make a difference, but I can't stress to you how big a difference it's made for me and a lot of the users of Buckets and the people that are in my organization. You know, I work with a lot of people in a lot of places, a lot of personality types, and us having these predictable workflows and experience together has just made all the difference, both in terms of the quality of work that we do and the lifestyles that we're able to keep up around it. Make sure that we all have our time, family time, fun time, whatever it is that you want.
What about people, because you mentioned different personality types, what about people who really resist planning? I mean, I know a number of people, and I might put myself in this category as well, who don't really, that's the bit we don't particularly enjoy. It's the detail does our head in, but also we want to be more, you know, more go with the flow and not be tied down to a plan. Is it possible to do enough in the 5 minutes that then allows us the freedom to have that kind of more flowy, in the moment approach to life?
Yes, I would totally say so. I mean, like we're gonna all have some projects that are more complex and whatnot, but you know, for the most part, you know, getting back to what I was saying before, I reuse 90% of stuff that I've done the work on, frankly, years ago. You know, like I'm reusing some notes, some checklists, you know, that were established a very long time ago. So I think that, like, you know, we're all at some point probably going to be able to sit down and really, like, we get motivated to think about, like, okay, I'm going to get organized. This is the time I'm going to get organized. Leverage that, you know, that motivation, and then take from that, you know, like you can totally just reuse a lot of that content time and time again. Another thing is that this is not necessarily in terms of process flow, but I really try to work with people that complement like my personality type, you know, which I myself, it's funny that, you know, here I've been a co-founder of a project management platform. If left to my own devices, I am very unorganized. I used to have the sticky notes all over my window here and whatnot. And I have people that I work with that are extremely organized, and they've kind of, you know, like they've brought a lot of that into me and then instilled a lot of that into me. But even, you know, if I'm jumping from meeting to meeting and I know the bare minimums that I need to do in our platform to keep things rolling and to go through these process flows, but they are the types of people that are very good about filling in the details where I may have just sort of like skirted on by to get to the next thing. So I do think it's important to make sure that we also work with the right people. I would never suggest like a startup or something to have three people where no one cares about the details. But if you had three people that all they care about the details, then you might kill each other too. So like it's important to work with people that sort of balance you out. In addition to just these process flows that we're talking about.
That's such a good idea. And of course, I have people that look after my diary. I mean, you know that I couldn't possibly organize this interview on my own. So I have people that do that for that very reason. And I have someone who looks after all the money in the business for that very reason. And I wonder if sometimes we're a bit resistant to asking for help on that. And yet, why not? You know, why not? There are people who love to be organized and love to organize you. And getting them involved at that upfront stage might be exactly what you need. So you don't have to get into the level of detail that doesn't fit your personality type.
Right. What I would make sure to tell everybody, just to make sure that they're, you know, not sometimes we don't have the right team right away, right? Like there's two of us and we're both unorganized. There's two of us and we're both overly organized. That's like the last 10% to make sure everything's like the perfectly smooth running machine. The 5 minutes at the start of the day, that's the 90%. So that's the good news, is that all of us can grab the 5 minutes. Not all of us can find the right partner or third team member or whatever, you know, day one. And we'll work to shape the team to make sure that you have a successful project or company or whatever you're doing. But that 90% of the process, that's something you can start today. So.
Yeah. So let's change tack a little bit, because I really want to talk to you about the challenges of technology. I mean, we've skirted around it in this conversation, but you know, we were promised that this technology was going to make our lives easier, that we were going to live lives of leisure, that the you know, computers were going to do so much of the work, and that we were going to have more time to think. And of course, the opposite is true, and we've lost, in fact, I think I'm quoting something that you said to me on another occasion when we were chatting, but you know, we've lost that ability to daydream. But there isn't any time, and even when we ring fence that time, it kind of gets eaten into, and we've almost lost the muscle to do it anyway. So we sit there staring into space thinking, what am I supposed to be thinking about now? So, I mean, right. As someone who is heavily involved in what's going on in tech right now, are we ever going to get this right in terms of tech being able to do the drudge work so we can actually get on with our lives?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is so we all grew up, I don't know, watching the Jetsons, or we saw Back to the Future or whatever. And we had this idea of what this was going to look like, that just one day a robot butler was going to show up at our house and we were just going to say, take care of everything and go read a book or watch TV or whatever. And what's interesting is that, okay, yes, like we might not have robot butlers right now, but we do have sort of robots all over, computers helping us do things in an automated fashion that in theory should be opening up our day. We should be working less and less. And I don't know what the statistics are, but I feel like a lot of people that I see are working more and more, or at the very least are more and more connected to work more hours of the day. And so the interesting thing that we've seen as this technology has progressed is that it's actually a lot on us to sort of train ourselves to take advantage of the tools that have become available. You know, I've been a kind of a part of this global economy in the sense of the internet since the very early stages. You know, like I opened my first overseas office in 2001. And grew other offices around that. And, you know, like we touched on earlier in the interview, I believe, you know, I slept less. I had the headphones on. I got messages on like very early Blackberries and whatnot. And, you know, I at the time saw the tools and said, okay, how can I get, you know, 36 hours of work done in a 12-hour day? And that's, I think, what, as the technologies become more readily available to people that are not necessarily like nerds like me, now everyone is sort of starting to go through that process that I went through in my early 20s, where like, yes, your boss can get to you at Saturday night at 9 p.m., and if you don't answer that email, you're rude. So I think that we need to really, really train ourselves how to leverage the technology itself in order to take advantage of it in the first place. If we don't actually take advantage of what computers are able to do to us, then we are going to go to that other side of the spectrum, which is we're actually just going to work more and more and more. Whereas what we should be looking at is like, okay, I normally work an 8-hour day. How can I accomplish what I normally do in that 8-hour day, but do it in 2 or 3 hours, and then, you know, answer an email here and there, and then, you know, take my life back? Or in my earlier in my career, it was, I think I told you this in an earlier discussion, it was getting my sleep back. One of the greatest things I've done in my career is start sleeping. Just for anyone that wants a little tidbit, sleep is very important. So, we need to train ourselves more than we need to train our computers and robots in order for us to take advantage of this new technology.
So is that how you're doing it now? You have this kind of in more intense period of work at some point in the day, 2-3 hours, and then the rest of the time you're kind of off living your life, checking in occasionally. Is that how you're doing it?
There's always different seasons, you know, like I'm involved in multiple projects. And so, yeah, there's sometimes when I'm, you know, working very hard and long hours because might be involved in 4 things that season. I've made that, you know, decision that the opportunity outweighed the lifestyle for those couple months. But for the most part, yeah, I like to come in the office at, you know, maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. I really concentrate in on what I'm doing for probably 2 to 3 hours typically, which involves multiple business interests. I have a quick meeting with my director of operations. And then for the most part, I'm sort of free to do as I please. And sometimes I might want to utilize that time for, planning out the next buckets feature. Like, I'm someone where work and leisure sometimes blend. And I mean, that can be good or a bad thing. But sometimes I might want to do like a blog entry or something. But other times it's like, I want to take my kids to the park, or I want to go play around a golf or whatever. So I think the key is that I always leave myself that option. Any day of the week, pretty much, I could work a 3-hour day. And then sometimes I choose to, and sometimes by choice, I like to work, and that's a really good thing that I have that option. But yeah, so I think I do practice what I preach, hopefully.
You know, we're coming out of an age where the longer hours you put in, the more value you could add. I mean, if you are literally standing on a production line putting things into boxes, the longer you stand there putting things into boxes, the more boxes you fill. We're now coming out of that age into an age that is much more about ideas and service economy and all of that. Putting in longer hours isn't necessarily making more happen. And the way you're describing working, actually, although I've made quite a big deal about being quite disorganized, in fact, what you're describing is kind of how we do it, certainly while we're traveling, that I get up quite early and I do some solid concentrated work actually before Ivy wakes up and while she's just pottering about in the morning. And then we go out. We go out and we go and see what's in our local area. And then maybe when I get back about 6-7 o'clock in the evening, I'll catch up on emails and kind of tie up a few loose ends. And that's basically the shape of the day. But I'm not answerable to a boss in a sense. I don't have anyone watching how I'm working. Are you noticing, whereas if I did, I might feel more guilt about that, or it might be frowned upon. Are you noticing that people are changing their attitudes towards that, that some of the clients that you're working with and some of the companies that you connect with in your network, that they do have this different attitude to the working day?
Absolutely. I've made a huge transition in that. Going back to, you know, 21-year-old Mike, I used to have people actually literally clock in and clock out at work. And we had a time system and everything. And flash forward to probably the last, I don't know, 7+ years or something like that. And my company line has always been, here's what we need to get done this week. When you're done with your work, your time is yours. And, you know, a lot of the people in our companies decide to work on the next thing, and that next thing tends to be something that they find very inspirational. You know, Google kind of coined that approach once upon a time, where everyone got one day a week, I believe, to work on a project of their own. And some of those projects, I believe, became tools that we use today, like Gmail, for example. So, you know, how we value our time, we really historically have thought about it like you were talking about it, like the factory line of like, okay, I got to make this one, then this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. But the value of ideas and innovation are so much greater than, you know, the things that we get done every specific point of the day, especially those of us out there that are entrepreneurial. You know, the great ideas out there, yeah, maybe some of them came out of boardroom meetings and whatnot, but a lot of them came out of daydreaming, thinking in the shower, talking to yourself in the car. And those are the pieces of our day that seemingly get more and more lost, because, you know, we're in the car and we're like, oh, I can take care of that call. Whereas we used to do a lot of thinking maybe on our 30-minute commute to work, now we're fitting in a call both to and from work, right? So that's another hour of work that we can fit into our day. And I'm, you know, sitting around, you know, perhaps practicing that call, taking my shower in the morning. I don't, like, everything is like, how can I squeeze, how can I make more out of these 20 minutes? And it's never more or less and less has become about, you know, thinking about what's next. And you know, like you talked about earlier, the daydreaming component. I don't want anyone truly daydreaming while they're driving, but I do want them free thinking. And I think that, you know, with the, you know, innovation that we're seeing, I actually think that we're going to see a great renaissance with regard to innovation, because people are going to have more time and brain power accessible to thinking through ideas, problem solving, doing these things that we have no time to do if we're doing these putting out fires or just like, how can I fit another task into my day? If we all have 4, 5, 6 hours a day that is, you know, we're thinking, or maybe we're spending time with our kids or something, and we see something where, oh, no one has made this or that that helps you with this parental problem. Those are the times when innovation happens. And so I'm really excited, not so much to see how productivity increases and how do we make more cars and whatever it comes from technology and bots and things like that. I'm more excited to see, like, what are the truly innovative and exciting ideas that come out of the human brain? Because that's ultimately what we're getting back. We're not getting greater technology. The greatest technology that exists on the planet is the human brain. So getting, if we can average 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours more from a large percentage of humans around the world, like, it's pretty crazy to think about what could actually come out of that.
I love that. I love how optimistic you are about the technology and what it will enable us to do. I don't know if you can do this off the top of your head, but apart from your own product, the buckets, are there any other time-saving apps or practices that you have in your life that you can recommend to us to help us to have a little bit more time too?
Sure. I mean, you know, basically when I'm developing or contributing to the development of buckets, I'm oftentimes finding me doing things, myself doing things, in the real world that I've said, okay, does this translate over into buckets and can we do something with that, you know? So I actually think that sometimes simplicity is really grand. I think that we should all carry around a pad and paper. I know that's really silly. It sounds weird for someone that has a project management platform, task management platform. I have tools in buckets, you know, that are made to replace paper and pen. But there's just something sometimes about the freestyling that occurs when you just have an open canvas, you know, for ideas, and you can write down a checklist and then you can draw an idea right next to it and whatnot. So I think that we should all carry around paper and pen, paper and pencil, whatever you want. There's a lot of other project management, task management type of tools out there. What I would really like to see more and more people doing is giving that a try And of course, I would love for them to come to Buckets, but I would like for them to find the platform that works best for them, because we've thought through things a certain way. And I think for a lot of people out there, it's a great way of thinking, but you know, some people might find it too complex or not complex enough. So, you know, I'm not in the business of talking about my competitors, but, you know, Trello, Asana, Basecamp, those are other good tools for you to find out about. Everything out there in the world that I'm a part of is very cost effective for the most part. It's something that everyone, even down to a starving student, could probably afford, and most of us are start out at free products and whatnot. So I think everyone should try getting organized in the cloud. And sort of work that in with some real world stuff, carry around pen and paper, you know, just get yourself in the habit. If you start writing things down, in the real world, you'll quickly, I think, see why having that accessible anywhere, like, oh, I don't have my pen and paper. Where is it? Oh, open up the app. Or, oh, I want to share this very quickly with someone. How do I send them this piece of paper, take a picture, I don't know. You'll quickly see what the reasons why platforms like ours exist. But if you don't take the first step, it's impossible to see the second step. So I don't want anyone to sort of like, you know, jump ahead and not, you know, get into this, just not understanding where the value is. So just get started, whatever feels natural to you, and sort of evolve with it.
That's great. I love the idea of the pen and pad. I mean, I very often am scribbling on some old receipt that I have with an eyebrow pencil. It would make a bit more sense for me to just carry a pad and pen around with me. So yeah, that's so old school. I love it. Mike, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you. And like I said, the optimism that you have about the tech, you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming, and we can think that the only way to deal with this is to switch off from everything. You know, but actually, from what you're saying, the tech, if we use it right, can really help us to get our lives back and to have what was always promised to us, which was more leisure time, more balance, more time to think.
Yes, no, absolutely. All transitions take time. We're in the midst of a great technology transition. The technology is advancing very rapidly, and you know, it's easy to make the tech advance. It's sometimes hard to make us advance along with it in the right ways. But you know, give it time. Give people time to sort of like adjust expectations of what a workday should look like. And you know, I think that as more and more of us sort of join this, more towards this mindset of like, let's kind of live to live more than live to work all the time. I think that, I think hopefully we're all going to be a lot happier in general, but, you know, I think that we'll see a lot of this actually come to fruition a lot sooner than you may think.
Listening to that again, I just found so much of what Mike said so useful. I love how he describes his typical day, this kind of intense working period at the beginning of the day and then dipping in and out for the rest of the day. The 9-to-5 is not the only way to work. It doesn't always even deliver the results, so it's really worth thinking about what might. Do check out Buckets at buckets.co. They are improving and upgrading all the time with the input from their community. So you have the opportunity to shape the product that you need from them in future. And I've already told Mike what I'd find really useful. It's one of the things I love about companies like this, that they are constantly working with their community to create exactly what the community wants. So if you become part of that community, you can end up with a product or a set of services that are really going to suit your needs, no matter how unique they are to you. Meanwhile, do stay in touch with us. The podcast is now on Spotify and Google Play, so there are lots of ways to listen, to share, and to get the word out. With information about how to stay in touch with us, here is the absolutely gorgeous Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. You can get all the episodes of this show, plus read the blog and find out more about our travel adventure at www.brilliantgamble.com. Sign up to the newsletter and get an advance notice of the classes and programs Mummy is running. Plus, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Brilliant Gamble. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on iTunes, as it helps people find us and take a brilliant gamble of their own.